Hi, welcome to Shrink Wrapped. I'm Allison Colarossi here with Dr. David Colarossi, and we're here.
We're not going to win any awards for consistency on Shrink Wrap.
No, but we are here today. We're going to plan on doing better. Tomorrow's a new day.
I think that, okay. We have a lot to talk about. We were on vacation in Sardinia. We had an epic bike tour. We have lots of pop culture to discuss. And we have a new format that we need to sort of present to the audience.
Sounds good.
What do you want to start with?
I think we should start with the Duggars.
Let's talk about the Duggars.
Have you watched the new documentary?
I've watched as much as I can tolerate.
Okay. Well, I, like Sister Wives, was a fan of 19 and Counting. I couldn't believe that they had so many kids and everyone, like, especially now that I have kids, all their kids are well-behaved.
All 19 of the kids were?
All 19, but as it unfolded, it turned it out.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
I was just thinking about, like, the spectrum of behavior, and molesting your younger sisters doesn't fall into the healthy bucket to
that me. Came out later. We okay. didn't know.
You thought that their behavior was all above yeah. board. Okay, yeah.
But it turns out, like, they were part of this church called... I wrote it down because I couldn't remember the name. Institute of Basic Life Principles. It's IBLP is what it stands for. Mm-hmm. Or what they call it. But it's like this guy, Gothard, developed these training centers around the world for these people with their families on how to raise good families. But it turns out that he himself had never been married or had any kids, but he knew all the principles and shared it, and he had this huge following, and the Duggars were part of it.
I did feel more confident in my parenting ability before I had kids, you know?
Well, what's so funny is about it is, like, there's a lot of our, like, politicians that have gone through his program. Like, that's their whole thing, is to infiltrate government. And so they have a specific training center that's like militia. It's called Alert, where they learn how to be in the military. It's like a military academy.
Wait, hold on. You're confusing me. So I know Jim Bob or whatever his name was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was like trying to become the governor of Arkansas or something.
I'm not sure he went through the training program, but he is definitely considered one of the leaders in the program now, since they got rid of Gothard for molestation.
Gothard from our station.
Yeah.
So here's the story, from the outside here, how you might look at this. You know, you've heard the thing, like, hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say is, like, just because someone's been molested or abused or victimized doesn't mean that they're going to go abuse or victimize somebody else. In fact, the chances are very slim. But the chances that somebody who is victimizing somebody has been victimized themselves is like 98%.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, that is such a, to go in and molest your younger sisters, like, what's the oldest one's name? I get him confused.
The one that Josh or?
Josh. Josh's behavior is so deviant. The chances that deviancy just cropped up out of nowhere is, in my mind, zero. In my mind, there's no question that somebody perpetrated against him.
Well, so they go to these training academies, like summer camps.
Yeah.
And so apparently that's where it happens.
Did they say that Josh had been sexually abused?
No, they did not. But they said he went to these camps with Gothard, and other people at the camps were abused by Gothard.
Okay.
And so apparently I don't want to say standard practice, but it had been standard practice to look away about the abuses that were happening there.
Yeah.
I just find it really interesting. And I feel like I was a fan of the 19 and Counting, but after that, I'm like, oh my gosh. Cause one of the whole things is about women obeying their husbands and, like, being subservient to their husbands.
I can get behind that part.
They're trying to build a whole society around that.
Hold on, did you hear my joke?
I heard your joke and I ignored it. Okay. And then I thought about what happened on our vacation.
Okay, is that a good, are we, hold on. I just want to feel, did we cover the Duggar? I feel like there's a lot of energy around this Duggar. Here, I guess I don't understand at this stage of the game, why is there energy related to the Duggars? To me, it seems like a very clear case of a, you know, there were very negative things happening in that family.
Yeah.
And to me, so I guess I'm wondering why the, does the audience have feelings about the Duggars other than it was a sick family?
Well, I think there was so much we didn't understand, like on camera. And you have to remember, like, I have to always remember that the reality shows, they're heavily edited.
Yes.
And so like what we saw was not actually what was going on. And so the Shining Happy People paints a light on it. And actually, I believe like the oldest daughter, Jill or Jess, I can't remember which one, and the cousin Amy, like, are talking about their experience. And I don't know if you know this, but none of the kids got paid. So Jim Bob became a very wealthy man and never paid any of his kids any wages. That's crazy. They were like adults on the show.
Yeah. It's totally crazy. So is the...
So abusive. It's like such an abuse of power.
Are people feeling betrayed by the Duggars because they now know the truth? Or is the audience still looking at it and being like, oh, well, it's a mostly good family. Not good's the wrong word. It's a mostly healthy family except for this one bad egg. Like, what do you think the fandom of 19 and Counting thinks today?
I think the show, Shining Happy People, the documentary, peeled back the onion so you could actually understand what was happening and why. Like, why would the seemingly great older brother molest his kids, like, all of a sudden when you see him on the show and he's, like, a lovely human? You know what I mean? He also has 7 kids of his own.
So I found these... I only watched a little bit of documentary, but my distaste for it was that didn't seem clear to me. I found it like not, it wasn't interesting because it didn't totally clear things up.
Oh.
Right? Like what? So I guess
we don't know, like we can just infer that he had been abused at one of these camps.
But they didn't infer, they didn't mention that in the documentary, did they?
They mentioned all the other people that went through these training centers that had been abused. So they were inferring it. The implication that he had probably been abused in it. And the other implication is that they tried to push it under the rug to make more money, to keep the show going.
Did TLC know about it?
Yeah, that's why they had the spinoff show, Counting On.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then...
It is remarkable to me, like, because of YouTube, I've been more, you know, like, watching more of these shows. It is remarkable, like there's a part of this where you have these shows, like, or these channels, what do you call them? These media empires, TLC, Bravo, and their response, like they should be, I think, held accountable for the impact they're having on the audience and the people that they are filming.
Yeah.
You know, like some of these shows, they are, I think, have a very damaging impact on the actual people.
Like MILF Manor?
I mean, I mean, it's like, I wish I could, I want to say like, oh yeah, that was terrible, but I did enjoy watching and making fun of that
but
show.
But it's not like...
But it's a sick show.
But it's not like it's anything new. Like I was watching a documentary this morning, because I'm jet-lagged.
Yeah.
Called American Gladiator. And about how the whole American Gladiator series started.
First of all, I used to love American Gladiators.
Yeah, well, it is wild how like underprepared they were to the athletes and how often they got hurt. And
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They were just like flying by the seat of their pants. But so I feel like they don't really care about the people. It's more about
the producers. I mean, just like the more I watch it, the more I go, oh, God, this is. Like with Vanderpump Rules, this character Raquel, Mm-hmm. And they're like pushing her to come back on the show. And I mean, I'm worried she's going to hurt herself. She looks to me like she is suffering.
Is that the one that had the affair?
Uh-huh. She was the other woman. But, you know, she's just been, you know, everybody has just, she's been excoriated for good reason. Like, she brought it on herself, but she does not look like someone that should go get back on TV, you know? And they're going to pay her a lot of money. She's going to do it, and she's going to get annihilated again. And then go, she's been in treatment for 2 months, comes right out of treatment, and they're like, yep, let's film you again. It's just a crazy situation.
It doesn't end well.
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah, so I've been watching some interesting documentaries. Yeah. I also watched Killer Sally.
You watch the weirdest stuff. Like, I can't even, I try to watch it with you.
Did she do it?
Yeah, did she do it? Yeah, she did it.
But, like, was she battered? Because she got 25 years because they tried to say she wasn't battered. Because in the 90s, it wasn't like, they didn't really protect women.
Yeah, she was battered. She was for sure battered.
I think so, too. And she had roid rage. So it was like a bad combination.
I mean, she's not someone that I would want to batter. Like, if you're, it seems like a bad
choice.
Apparently,
she's not very big. Like, she's muscular, but, like, probably 5'1".
Well, her husband that she killed was gargantuan.
Yeah.
And they're both juiced to the gills.
Yeah.
But it's weird to me. That's like, you're like, all the things that I could watch, you're like, Killer Sally's where I want to spend my time.
You're right. The other thing I wanted to talk about was Jonah Hill. And his ex-girlfriend, I think what's her name? Brady or something. Mm-hmm. I think you may be able to help with this, but from my understanding, they were a couple for a year and they really liked each other. Mm-hmm. And they had a breakup, and instead of keeping their stuff private, she posted all about his abusive tactics online. Mm-hmm. Which I agree 100%. They are abusive tactics. And I just thought it was an interesting move on her part.
Yeah.
Like, well, like it seems like abuse with abuse.
Abuse with
abuse. Like, they're trying to outdo each other with abuse.
How is she abusive?
I think she's trying to humiliate.
Oh, now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have so many thoughts about this, and so I'm trying to think of, like, how do I streamline my thoughts, because they're not organized, but I have a lot. I have a reaction.
Welcome to my world.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay. So just as like a high level summary, just based on what you know, whatever was posted, she posted on Instagram. You know, she's talking about her recovery from this abusive relationship from this guy that was a narcissist, from this guy that was, emotionally abusive. And she posts these text messages. And I think if you read the text messages, you have two reactions. One reaction, I think, from the lion's share of people that read it is, it's not that bad. He's not telling her that she's a horrible person. He's not telling her that he hates her. He's not, you know, he's not being vicious.
Well, I think what he is being is, I don't think he's being mean in that way, but he's being controlling and wanting to steal her identity.
So I think that there's two sides of this. Like, one side is you look at it and go, okay, here's what I think. I feel like we have to be careful of looking at everything and being like, you're an abuser. I think that people in relationships, and I think in a lot of relationships, people engage in behavior that is abusive. And I think we have to be able to label that, like, that's an abusive behavior. And certainly, if you look at his text messages, while he wasn't intentionally being ruthless or diminishing or any of those things, if you look at it, you know, just the energy around his text messages. I mean, you see him write, I mean, it'll be like 7 long paragraph long texts saying, you know, you're doing, you know, take down this picture. You know, I'm too insecure. You can't put that out there. I'm not comfortable being in a relationship with someone who does that kind of stuff. Take it down. I mean, it's a, there's, he's not trying to be a dick, but he's being a dick because he's controlling her behavior. And you can see him just sort of venting, and her response is like, I did it, or I'm sorry, or, you know, I love this, you know, like it wasn't two people bringing the same amount of ammo to the fight. He is just attacking her, and she's kind of saying, being more sort of deferential. So I think it's like, that's a true dynamic that we have to point out. I thought, so that's one thing, is I think it's easy to look at it and go, it's not abusive because he's not saying horrific things to her. But I would also argue, it is important to note that it is abusive because it's controlling.
Yeah.
And in that way, it's definitely, like, you have to call that what it is. I also thought it was concerning because he does what I think a lot of people do, and I think that I do this, which is he uses his, you know, the guy's obviously been in therapy for a long time. He knows the right kind of psycholingo to use. He has this, the same kind of energy that, like, Steven Crowder had, where he's like, I'm so much more self-aware of how the dynamics that are at play here. And I am telling you, here's what needs to happen, and here's why you're wrong, and here's what I'm willing to be in a relationship with. And the implication is there that she is not as sophisticated emotionally as he is, and therefore she is stupid. Like, he's leveraging, I feel like Jonah Hill was leveraging his, you know, knowledge of psychobabble to be very dismissive of her. Does that make sense? Like, there's a flavor. I'm feeling like I'm not articulating that well, but there was a, almost felt like a misuse of his time in therapy. So, like, let me give an example. At one point in it, he goes, I know I have a lot of work to do, and I've been in therapy, and I've learned what I can tolerate in a relationship, and what you're doing, I can't tolerate. So you need to take down these pictures. Otherwise, I'm not willing to be in a relationship with you. If you want to have kids and get married and want to have a stable environment, then you need to change these friends, because I know what makes a relationship work, and what you're doing is going to undermine the relationship. Like, he's putting himself, he's acting like he's being vulnerable, but he's putting himself, he's one-upping her as far as knowledge and experience. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes. And yeah. I would say, I think, like, he probably, like, talked to his therapist before he wrote those text messages, or had a similar conversation. And she said to him, like, you need to know what your boundaries are, and you need to, you know, you need to decide whether or not you want to be in a relationship. You're not going to like that. You need to decide whether or not you're going to be in a relationship with that person. It's really bad. I don't like
that's
it either.
Awful.
I know. I don't know what I doctored it too much.
Sorry.
And instead of him, like, being introspective and deciding what his own boundaries were, he decided, like, I'm going to tell you what my boundaries are, and it's up to you if you want to be in a relationship with me.
So here's the question for you, for Allison. What if for Jonah, given Jonah's level of insecurity, like, we all know he's got body image issues, he's been really transparent about that, and he's working on feeling more comfortable, and here he is dating this woman who he acknowledges in the text messages is beautiful, and he's like, I respect the fact that you're beautiful and that you're hot and you want to show your body off, but I don't like it because I'm insecure, which is what he said in the text message. Is that a fair position to have?
I mean, I think he's just being honest about it.
I agree. Like, I don't think, everybody, I feel like a lot of people are looking at it and being like, well, that's an unreasonable request from him to say to his girlfriend, hey, take the, you know.
Well, I agree it's unreasonable for him to request that.
Yes.
But I think he is acknowledging his feelings about it, and, like, we can't not allow people to have feelings about stuff.
I agree with you 100%. That's how I feel about it. So to me, I look at him.
He doesn't seem like a narcissist to me. He just seems like.
No, I think the use of the word narcissist to describe him is unfounded. I just think
it's a bizarre move to, like, if you really cared about this person, like, to post your dirty laundry online
for her to do. Okay, but can we stick on Jonah just for a second? Yeah. So if you look at it and go, he has the right to that feeling. He has the right to say, "Hey, I'm uncomfortable with her wearing that on the internet." Why do you then also say that what he did was controlling?
I think it's controlling because, like, number one, that's how he met her. So, like, she already had those on the internet. All those pictures were prior to his relationship with her.
I don't understand. Can I just interrupt and say more? I don't understand that line. The way that you dressed when I met you, well, you and I would have some discussions if you wore the same outfits
David,
today.
David, you constantly complain that I haven't changed my style since you met me. So I disagree.
Why do you disagree with that?
I still dress the same.
You don't. You do. You had the girls out a lot more than they are today.
That's just because they're sadder.
But I don't think that that's fair. I don't think it's a fair statement. Everybody's upset with him because they're like, "Oh, well, that's how she put that. She had those pictures up when you started dating her, and now you don't want them up." And he's thinking, "Yeah, I saw those pictures, and I pursued her because she looks super hot, and now I'm feeling insecure. I want her to be committed to me, and it feels like she's not being committed because I know what I thought when I saw those pictures. I know what all these other people are thinking when they see those pictures." Like, why is that unreasonable? Why does it matter if she had them up before?
Well, I wonder if, like, maybe instead of saying, "If you want to be in a relationship with me, then you'll take them down," if he could have changed it and been like, "I'm kind of uncomfortable with those pictures up there."
Yeah.
Like, how would you feel about not having them up there anymore? Yeah. And then make a decision from there. But he being like, "You need to take them down."
Yeah.
I feel like my personality would be to put more up.
You would put nudes up. If I talked to you the way that he did, you'd put nudes. So I agree. I think we probably see this the same way, which I think it's a reasonable thing and even a healthy thing to be able to say to your spouse or your partner, "Hey, what you're doing is making me feel insecure," even though it's a ludicrous position to take. "I know what I'm thinking is unreasonable, but this is how I feel." You should be able to say that, but you shouldn't go on a massive rant and use your, you know, psychobabble, whatever he's doing, your emotional, you know, he's using his emotional gravitas to make her feel stupid so that he can control her.
Right? I just feel like he's so immature, and I feel like she is too.
Okay, so say more about the part what don't you like about her?
I just think it's a weird thing, like what we're dealing with. Like, now you're never going to feel psychological safety in a relationship, because if it sours, someone's going to post your dirty laundry and call you a narcissist for everyone to see. And it's just like, I feel sad for people dating right now because, you know, inevitably things go bad. Many relationships go bad. So, like, just so you know, like, if someone feels like they've been wronged, you might have, like, all your text messages that you ever sent to each other posted.
It is a weird move. Like, it's so, I think it's part of her healing, but it feels like a...
Oh my gosh, we should talk about... Sorry.
Can we finish this?
Sorry.
Am I boring you?
No, I mean, I just think
the reason why I'm slowing down on this one, because I think it's a really complicated thing. There's a lot going on. Complicated, maybe the wrong word. There's just nuance there. But I think you're right that it's like, I don't know what's in it for her other than she's trying to hurt someone who hurt her. Mm-hmm. It's payback. And she's trying to garner support from the inner. I mean, if I were her therapist, I'd be like, why do you need the support? Why do you need to the relationship is over. He's with somebody else. Why do you need to bury this man to make yourself feel like you're healing?
It's a weird way to try and humiliate, and I would say immature, and also a little abusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna torpedo your career because of how you treated me.
When you were talking, I was thinking about, remember a couple of weeks ago when we were on Facebook and these girls I went to high school with I don't know what happened, but they were sisters. They were about a year apart and they were very close. But one of the sisters posted online that her if anyone wanted any money, her parents were giving out money.
Yeah.
Because to her sister and just to call her parents.
Are you able to, can we talk about this?
I don't talk to them anymore. I just thought it was so weird. And like, it's to me, it's like a similar thing. Like, let me embarrass and humiliate.
Now you got to tell the story.
Okay. So I was on, we were on Facebook and one of these two girls I went to high school with, one of them posted online about the other one that her parents were spending all of their inheritance on her. And if other people were also looking for money, that they could reach out to her parents, because her sister had married an alcoholic and was getting all the money for all the kids. There was, I think, 4 or 5 kids, but her sister was getting all the money of the parents' inheritance. And it was just like such a weird thing to post on Facebook. You know, I grew up in a small town. We all know each other. And it just was like a weird way to try and humiliate your family. Not just your sister immediately, but also your parents.
Yeah.
It was so bizarre, right?
I mean, there is, I don't know them. I don't know the situation, but you showed me the post. We can't duplicate the level, like the amount of vitriol. It was like my sister is, you know,
married to an alcoholic.
She's been a leech on my family for the last 25 years and the leeching continues. You know, she hasn't been able to support herself. Her husband can't support himself. And now my parents are giving up all of their money to that family and I'm not going to get any. So if anybody else wants money, our family is giving it away for free. So, I mean, it was like a ruthless attack.
And untrue. I mean, I don't think all the way true. Like her mom, her sister is a physician.
That's hilarious. Really?
Yes.
Oh my God. Like so it's just crazy. It's just a weird, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like from like a psychological standpoint, like why do people want to do that?
Like like they need validation from the interwebs. Which is like, I think goes to why mental health is so bad, because people aren't connecting with each other or having conflict face to face. They're having conflict through likes on Facebook or Instagram or Lemon or whatever.
I think it's why we have way too much validation, I think, in society. And not enough reality checking, you know, like it's going back to Jonah Hill. Like your thought is, well, maybe his therapist was like, well, you're right to think that, you're right to feel that way. It's harder for a therapist to say, actually, I think you're being unreasonable. Mm-hmm. You're creating friction with your client. And if you think about this same thing with your friends, right? She can put out this ridiculous post and very few people, I mean, I think some people were like, what are you doing? But some people were like, you poor thing, or right. You're going to find, if you put it out there, you're going to get somebody that supports you. It's you, no matter how ludicrous your position is, you will be validated. Mm-hmm. And so extreme opinions land somewhere.
Yeah.
You know,
I found it very sad.
Yeah.
I like those girls. That's too bad.
She has some mental health issues. There's no question.
Yeah.
The woman posting and needs to talk to somebody.
I think she's had some trauma recently. Anyway, the last thing.
Any other chipper topics?
Yes, I wanted to talk about we're halfway through the year. To check in. I do not feel like we are doing well with our goal to have more dates.
But I'm feeling just as connected to you.
Disagree.
You disagree? Oh,
agree
on.
To disagree.
Allison, whenever she's mad at me, she just goes, I am not feeling connected to you right now. And I'm always like, I feel like over the course of our relationship, we've been together for 14, married for 14 years, together like forever, 20 years. I feel like my connection and love has been stable the whole way.
You're lying to yourself.
Though. I am not. And Allison just like, but we need to do more dates.
Yeah.
I agree.
And by the way, I planned an amazing vacation for our family without David. Wait, hold on. Honey,
you're skipping, you're bouncing around here. Okay. So back to our halfway. You want more dates? What else? How are we doing? You wanted to do a half year review.
That was it. I can't remember all the things from my half year. I just wanted to do that. I just was thinking about that specific one.
You just wanted to mention that. Okay. Yeah. And I agree. We just need to get them on the calendar. I'm going to be proactive and get them on the calendar.
Okay. Yeah. We.
I mean, it could be a we. You could put it on the calendar too.
You get mad when I put too many things on the calendar.
You put so much on the calendar. I can't remember the last free weekend that we had.
This weekend.
We went to my parents. We flew back from Sardinia on Friday. Then Saturday, I did get to recover on Saturday. Did we do anything yesterday? No, but then today, we went to my parents' house. We went to a block party, and you tried to get me to go hang out with your friend from college. All in one day.
Life is short, Dave.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about, what do you want to talk about? The badass trip that you planned?
Yes. We, as a family, and I feel like I just wanted to offer this tidbit, the life hack. We, as a family, went to Italy to spread your dad's ashes this summer. And while we were there, we were with the family to do that for 6 or 7 days. And then after that, we decided to do a bike tour of Sardinia, which I was told that it was a leisure ride. It turned out it was not. But I think my life hack of it all is that the kids never complained. And I think we have to remember they just want to do stuff with us. So that's my life hack.
Okay. So that's, and it's a good, I agree. It's a good, it was a good life hack. It was a good learning that they're more resilient than maybe we give them credit for.
Yeah.
I am not that resilient though. So while the kids didn't complain, I suffered.
You loved it.
I loved it at the end. The fact that we did that, like I said, was a love. That's my love letter to you.
Okay. It was my love letter to you.
It was like that was you prodding me to get into shape, I think. So we go to Sardinia. So Sardinia is the, you know, there's Italy and then off the, what is it? The western side of Italy. There's Sardinia, which is an island. It's Italian, but very different culture than Italy. They sort of see themselves as separate from Italy. And we get there first night. We're like in this nice hotel. And I'm thinking the last 6 months, Allison's been like, you need to get into shape, get on the bike. Your butt's going to hurt. And I'm going like, it's a recreational ride and I'm going to be pulling a 5-year-old. Like how hard could this be? Like, it won't be that intense. So we have a nice day. Next day, get up and I ran 5 miles a day prior. Like I wasn't worried about it at all. Then the guy comes and he pulls out the bike that you're going to pull Enzo. I'm going to pull Lino or vice versa. And Enzo's is like a nice tag along, which is a bike. And then there's a bar that comes off the back. And then there's one wheel for Enzo to sit on. Looks efficient, appropriate. Then he pulls out this clunky thing. What is it called? I don't know what it's called. A follow me from, it's gotta be from like 1985. All the bikes are steel and he's assembling this follow me. It takes him 20 minutes to get this thing set up. And he's got all of his wrenches and all, this is not, there's no carbon fiber here. And he just throws just all these tools and spare tires and everything in these bags. I think that the bike itself, each of our bikes must have been 70 pounds. And then you put kids on it, right?
We got to work out.
And then he goes, okay, go. And it's 30 miles to the next hotel. And these are not like nice little paved, paths. This is, you're going up with cars zipping by. you're going up the rocky coast of Sardinia for 30 miles. And I will post, if I can figure out how to do it, I will link a clip of you pulling Lino up with Lino in the back doing nothing but slamming on the brakes. Like while Allison's pushing, and Lino's in the back, he's not, doesn't know what's happening.
And we
happening.
Are not bike riders.
And Allison,
it said it was a leisure ride.
That was nothing leisure about it. So we, like, I'm just telling you, I'm trying to think of how to describe it for the listener, but just, I suffered.
But you need to talk, it was hard, but we loved it.
We did. And we get to the first town.
And we're giddy. We're so happy. There,
I was not giddy. What are you talking about, giddy?
No, I was
having a breakdown in the first town. And the first time we go to, the hotel that he wanted to put us in wasn't available. So we got the world's worst Airbnb with people that speak no English. And it was not like it did not feel like a warm cultural experience. It felt like we were burdening them by being there. Right?
It was a very, very small town, and it's where the most centenarians live.
Oh, that was fun. It's okay. So we get there. So we leave. We start riding. I'm going to guess like at 9 o'clock in the morning. We get to this place at maybe 4:30. Mm-hmm. I have a breakdown. I lay down, take a shower for an hour, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I have two more days of this. I can't do it. We get up. We go into town like at like 5 or 6. Nothing's open.
They do smart things like siesta.
They siesta like it's a serious thing. The whole town shuts down from 1 o'clock to like 7:30. Like the restaurants didn't open again until 8 for dinner. And the town is dead as far as restaurants. And so we can't find any food. But there's all these men that are out just chit-chatting all over town.
It's very social for men.
Very social. So Allison is the one woman out there, walks over to one of the tables and goes to one of the men who, again, speaks no English. Allison speaks Spanish, and that's close enough to Italian that he could track. And says, well, hey, where are all the men or all the women? And the men are like,
They're cooking.
What are you doing?
David's like, oh, this is why they live so long here.
Yeah. It's what they call it, a blue zone. It's one of the healthiest places on earth. Mm-hmm. Lived the longest there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Allison did not agree with that was the reason for the health.
Well, they eat so much cheese there, and they do eat cheese. Like one of their delicacies is cheese that has maggots in it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they live so long.
Yeah. They
put like live parasites in there.
We had the first night we had suckling pig, which is like a baby pig that's still suckling. They kill it and eat the whole pig, which is delicious. Gross, but delicious. And you learn about this cheese that has maggots. They take the cheese, it's goat cheese. They let flies land on it. They let the flies lay eggs, and they put the cheese out in the sun. Maggots start growing and eating the cheese, and then they eat it after it's been passed through the maggots. They eat the cheese and squish the maggots.
But it's outlawed, so you can't get it unless you like.
You can't buy it.
You can't buy it, but you can like ask about it.
You can ask about it, yeah.
We did not try it, but I would say globally the food was very good in Sardinia.
How about when you, we got to go. Can I say one last thing about when you were criticizing my family's cookies? So that night, we go out, we finally find some.
I don't think you should talk about me criticizing anybody in your family.
She wasn't criticizing. We go there and we get some cookies, and I'm like, and we want to get cookies for the kids. And I go, no, let's get like real Italian cookies. My grandmother, my aunt make Italian cookies, and they are like delicious. They remind me, like I wanted Allison to experience this. So Allison gets these cookies and she eats and she goes, oh my gosh, these are not as hard as your family's. And the implication was that Allison liked the softer version, and she's eating it. And then all of a sudden she goes, oh my God. And there's maggots in the cookies. So the maggots had softened those cookies up.
Yeah. But I wouldn't say that was our global experience of Sardinia. I feel like
it was really good.
I feel like Sardinia was pretty amazing.
It was amazing. The next couple of days I calmed down and got better as far as I felt more comfortable with the riding. Mm-hmm. But we were riding 5 or 6 hours a day for those 3 days.
We were pulling kids 5 or 6 hours a day. And I happened to be pulling an 8-year-old that never thought I was going fast enough and was telling me that he was pushing me up the mountain. Mm-hmm. After 6 hours of pulling him saying that to me, I literally felt rage on the inside.
He still feels like he did all the...
That's what he told Gigi today. Yeah. It's like, ugh. Kids.
But I'm really happy we did it because I feel like it's put us on a good path as far as as far as fitness, and then also it's good to spend 6 hours riding as a family. Mm-hmm. Is an intimate thing. I feel it's good for our connection with the kids. The kids were super resilient, never complained. I felt very connected to you. Well, my connection stayed the same. Like
we felt connected because we had to survive it.
Yeah, yeah. So it was
good. I think that. It was a really fun and very well organized tour, but we were not in shape enough to do it. Like we were not prepared for that high of intensity.
Yeah, that is not
recreation. And so I feel like it really brought us closer to. I feel like it brought us closer together because we had to somehow get from point A to point B without like having a mental breakdown.
Yeah, when you said that, I thought you were going to say I thought it brought us closer to God. Also, kind of, yeah. Surviving that. But yes, it was a good family experience.
Anyway.
All right. Okay. Before this closes, just like a logistical thing, we have not been good about posting these podcasts to online and podcast form. So we're going to do that. And then I think I'm going to do this clip version on YouTube. So we'll probably have clips on YouTube. I don't know if we'll have the full episode on YouTube, but then the full episode will be in podcast form. And I'll make sure that we do that consistently.
Okay, great.
So we might just do one a week that's video and then one a week that is all audio. So if you want the full sort of shrink wrap experience twice a week, you'll get it all wherever you get your podcasts, shrink wrap. All right, I love you.
Love you.